following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We get a lot of tweets from folks that sound just like this. Jay, I bought my home in 2007. Since then, it's gone down in value. Now I owe more on my mortgage than my home is worth. Can I refinance? The answer may very well be yes. Recently, the government announced changes that may allow folks to refinance even if their home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you. Or if your current mortgage rate is higher than 3.99%, you've got to give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. So, if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 30.
You're tuned in to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg. Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated. Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who'll be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda along with Spencer Schubert on today's program. We're glad to have you along with us on this little snowy Thursday. Coming up on the program, Luke Hoover is going to answer your fantasy football questions. Brian Munson with the Huskers landing in Orlando. Plus, there's some commit news out there. We're going to talk with them, Spencer.
We also have coming up in just a little bit, Mike Davis, Nebraska Danger. We're about to hit the other side of the calendar, which means it's football season in a different way.
They're smart. They do tryouts like in warm weather.
And also, we have some basketball at the high school level. Both Minden basketball coaches, Shannon Lovin and Rick Cremosta, they're going to take some time to chat with us a little bit. But first things first, it's time to talk some football. Joining us now, Mike Davis of the Nebraska Danger. Coach, it's about that time. It looks like we might have a little bit of a connection difficulty. We'll try to get him back
Stupid
on.
Stupid snow.
Yeah, the snow. Taking down his lines.
College football bowl games really get going today. We've got a triple header. You know, they're not exciting, but they're not supposed to be exciting at this time of the year. They do get exciting tonight if it lives up to the hype. And actually, for a fired up game last night. That was a heck of a game between Central Michigan and Western Kentucky. 24-21 Central Michigan. They say, hey, we're not going to kick the field goal. We're going to go for it. And it just, they didn't convert.
Yeah, did you hear the story about Petrino not being able to get there either? The weather slowing him down just a little bit. Couldn't get up to Detroit in time. That was a tough deal. But
what do you mean you couldn't get there in time?
I don't know.
What, you were just going to slide in the day of the game?
I guess
Is that the
so.
Deal?
That's my guess, because the play-by-play guys with ESPN said he just wasn't going to get there in time and wasn't able to join them in the booth. But he'll be coaching Western Kentucky if he can get there next season. So.
Yeah, well, it's hard to drive your motorcycle in that snow, I'll tell you what. Today it is San Jose State and Bowling Green in the Military Bowl at 2, Cincinnati and Duke in the Belk Bowl, and that's at 5:30, and then Baylor-UCLA in the Holiday Bowl. That's tonight at 8:45, and you'll hear that game here on ESPN Radio.
But now we do have Mike Davis, Nebraska Danger head football coach. Coach Davis, we're at that time of the year where you actually have to start thinking about hearing the whistles and getting on the practice field. Talk about what you're going through right now as the new year comes close.
Well, I'm trying to stay warm right now, but it's an exciting time of year for us, getting things kicked off and, making sure we got everything finalized and the guys that we want and getting ready to get things rolling here come the 1st of February.
Each year with the Danger, Mike, we've had kind of you get more familiar with what's going on, your surroundings. You've known how the league works, but how much more comfortable are you, and are you ahead of the game, so to speak, at this point of the year?
I think so. Roster-wise, we have about 14 guys returning from last year. I'm excited about that. And it's probably as good a team as I can put together. But just like everybody knows, this league is dominated by quarterbacks, and if we get good quarterback play, we should be all right. So we're just kind of waiting to see what happens with that at that spot.
Well, you bring up that early roster. I know you'll have a couple tryouts yet that all come and earn a spot easily. But, moving forward, obviously you have guys like Corey Cernsey, or as you know him as Smurf, his nickname we've learned to come by. But just name some of the guys that we'll be seeing in the green and blue coming this winter here.
You have Corey Cernsey coming back. You have all IFL, Kane Falkers, and he's coming back, play receiver as well. Guys got a little peek of Marcus Barnett, otherwise known as Bones. He's coming back from Cincinnati. Jameel Sewell was kind of Mr. Everything. He'll go into camp as our number one quarterback. Tavares Presley's coming back. And that's really all it is on offense. We have a couple faces returning from the first year. Maurice Mansfield's coming to camp. Willie Tuatama's coming back up here. So I'm excited to have those guys. And then defensively, you got Adrian Davis. Pretty much our whole defensive line is coming back from last year. And most of our secondary. You got Darnell Terrell, Pig Brown, Darnell Jackson. A couple of new additions that are veterans in the IFL, like Tuff Johnson and things like that. So, I'm excited about what we have on paper, and unfortunately I've never won a paper championship, but it looks good going into the camp. That's what I'll tell you.
Talking Nebraska Danger Indoor Football, Mike Davis with us here. They've got tryouts coming out on January the 12th in Grand Island at the Fieldhouse at Fauner Park. What are you looking for in those tryouts? It's open to everybody, and have you had success in those tryouts?
We have. The first year we got Maurice Mansfield obviously came out of the first tryout. We signed about four guys from the first year. Last year, Tyson Palacios, which played with us, is probably going to come back to camp with us as well, was at the tryout. Obviously, we do a tryout in Miami, which had a huge response. I got about eight guys out of that. So, ideally I would like to find a couple local guys for the Danger, but, it's just, some guys don't want to come out and compete, and some guys do, and they just, it's a lot more intense than what guys really think it is. You're talking about professional athletes, and a lot of these guys have Division I experience or NFL experience, and, there's a reason why you get a scholarship to go to places like Arkansas and Arizona and UCLA and things like that, opposed to some smaller schools. I would love to have some smaller school local kids on the team, but just getting them to come trial is tough.
And Coach, you're listing some of the guys on the team already this season, and it seems like you have maybe even over 10 already of the 18 returning from last year. In a league like this, how rare is it to have that many guys coming back? You might see it in Sioux Falls with what they've been able to do, but to do it with a third-year team, what's that like to get that many guys back?
It's nice. I tell guys when we're recruiting them, if I have you more than two seasons, then we're doing something wrong. A lot of guys that we mentioned will get, like Corey Cernsey went to the CFL after our season last year, or left the last three games and went to our season. We got four or five other guys that the CFL teams are interested in. So a couple offensive linemen that a couple NFL teams are interested in. So if we can just, keep the core group together. You know, obviously my goal is to win games and help guys move up. So, you know, considering, you know, I tell everybody it's really my second year actually coaching. So, you know, I like what we have coming back as a core and a nucleus and a good group of guys.
Finally, Mike, when the schedule came out, you guys are heavy loaded playing at home at the start of the season. What's the pros and cons of that?
You know, I like it. You know, being, even though we have a bunch of guys returning, we're still a young team. So you being cold, being in the cold weather, you can expect the stands to be packed, and realistically, we'd be the only show in town. You know, you get into late May and June, and the weather gets nice. Heck, I don't want to be inside that. I mean, you know, the golf course is calling everybody's name and the lakes and stuff like that. So it's nice to get a lot of games out of the way up front. That way people get a taste of it. Then we'll get a nice little road trip, three or four games, and then come back home for a couple more. So,
speaking of golf, did you get that fixed?
It's still a work in progress. I like yours.
Mike, thanks so much for the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a happy new year, and we'll talk to you again as we get closer to the season.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Mike Davis, head football coach of the Nebraska Danger, joining me, Doug Duda, and Spencer Schubert on the Doug and Daddy Show today here on ESPN Radio. I can just tell you're kind of geeked up about that. You're a fan. I was a fan. I like the indoor football game. I'm not going to say I was a fan. I am a fan.
When they came in, I started to wonder, is it going to be like the Tri-City Diesel of the past where they came in? I think they won the championship in their second year or third year, and then it just kind of faded away. It seems like in Grand Island, it's really catching right now. Mike Davis is a guy with a lot of enthusiasm. He's got people excited about it. Mike McCoy, the general manager out there. Excuse me. Mike McCoy, though, and Mr. Bossman, obviously, with what they've been able to do with this franchise, they've really got something well going out there. I know the stands are packed. They're selling the tickets, and it's an exciting brand of football, the IFL. I mean, you have guys flying into the dasher boards. They might be in your lap before the end of the game. So I think it's great entertainment, and I think this team slowly, I mean, what was it, the first season they won two? Last season, they won four or five, so they're getting better, and it'll be interesting to see these players as they develop. And you're getting, like I said, a lot of those guys returning this year. They know the league. They know the style of play. It's got to only benefit the Danger.
Yeah, that's just it. Best attendance, despite not being a playoff team yet. Mm-hmm. So imagine what can happen if they do. So best of luck to the Danger. And, folks, coming up on the show, Brian Munson, Big Red Report, Luke Hoover, get your fantasy football questions in. If your league is still going, obviously, then this would be a very important week for you. We'll talk a little bit in basketball with their coaches in a minute as well. But, folks, no matter what day of the week it is, they're open at Cunningham's Journal and The Loft in downtown Kearney. You can stop in for lunch. You can have a meal anytime until the evening hours when the grill shuts down. And if you're hungry after that, then it's probably time to go home. Cunningham's, they've got specialty burgers, a domestic draft, only $6.49 for lunch every single day. Great burgers. If you don't want a burger or you want to try something different, get one of their pizzas, their barbecue. They've got salads, bacon-wrapped shrimp, skewers, and a whole lot more. It is a huge, huge menu. And, of course, entertainment every week. And stop in, watch the college football games on their huge 10-foot projection screen, the 70-inch HD that we'll be giving away with Cunningham's and Russell's Appliance, along with their Super Bowl party. The week before the Super Bowl, the 70-inch TV is up there in the main area as well. So whether it's lunchtime, whether it's happy hour, whether it's just for sports or live entertainment, Cunningham's Journal in the Loft is the place to be. And we're back after this.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
And the Herd on ESPN Radio.
Introducing a faster way to push to talk. AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk. AT&T delivers more of what your business needs. Instant communication, up to 1,000 contacts, plus a broad array of devices and platforms. Visit att.com/enhancedptt3 to get your business started with a free Samsung Rugby Pro. You push to talk, we pushed it further. AT&T, rethink possible.
Limited time offer. Free phone on new activations only. Requires 2-year commitment to eligible voice and data plans, plus activation of AT&T Enhanced Push to Talk service.
Leslie French was hunkered down for a fight.
I was just at the dealership looking for a car.
Lured in by the enemy.
No, it was pretty cordial, but I did need a car loan fast.
There was no time.
I called Navy Federal Credit Union. A really nice guy approved me for a loan on the spot. Great rate, too.
Victory was hers.
Well, a convertible was mine.
4 million members, 4 million stories. From every military branch, DOD, and their families. NavyFederal.org. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you looking for affordable, high-speed internet? Then Arcom has the service you're looking for. Whether you're in town or rural, Arcom can offer you high-speed internet for only $25 a month. That's right, just $25 a month. Get all your online needs met before the Christmas rush. Don't wait. Call today, 308-237-7266. That's Arcom for just $25 a month. Call today and get free installation. Arcom, 308-237-7266. Call now.
The Bridgepoint Education Holiday Bowl on ESPN Radio. UCLA's season took a rough turn when they dropped two straight to Stanford to end the season.
Snap was not great. Here's the kick. It is short.
Now, it's on to San Diego to face Baylor and their 44-point a game offense.
The Holiday Bowl, UCLA battling Baylor, Thursday night at 8 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
As cloudy conditions prevail today, we'll see some scattered flurries and snow showers around the area, with accumulation staying from a light coating up to an inch in spots by this evening. High temperatures will stay up in the low 20s. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley. Right now, it's 18.
Snoopy was certain that this was the end when the Baron cried out, "Merry Christmas, my friend!"
Doug and Daddy Show back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Doug Dita, Spencer Schubert with you on this Thursday. Holiday basketball tournaments begin today for some teams. Some go 2 days, some go three, some start tomorrow. And we've got action here on ESPN Radio from the Ravenna Holiday Tournament. Centura and Loop City doubleheader begins at 1, then Ravenna Overton at 4:30 on Classic Hits 98.9. Tomorrow here on ESPN Radio, the Amherst Holiday Tournament with Kearney Catholic, St. Pat's, and Ogallala. But last week we talked with Trent Benjamin on Thursday of Holdridge, and Minden is also going to the Grand Island Northwest Holiday Tournament. This is some good basketball on paper.
Yeah, great basketball. Minden taking on Northwest, Holdridge taking on Seward of all teams, especially on the girls' side. Going to be some great basketball. Not to mention Beatrice and Bennington, two other teams on the tail end of that bracket. And right now we're actually joined by the boys coach in Minden, Shannon Lovin, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Coach Lovin, you're during practice right now. Your guys are out there shooting hoops and you're talking to us, right?
Yeah, they're out there getting warmed up and getting their legs just a little bit. But my assistant's having right now.
There's that fine line of the kids getting out and going to a Y or sneaking into school and shooting on their own because you're coming off that 5 day break. How tough is it to play a game? I mean, you're trying to do a walkthrough this morning, but no real practice before you go into a game.
Well, that's a lot more difficult, I think, having this first day. You know, like you said, some of the kids can get out and get to a Y. We don't have one here in town, so they've got to travel different places to find some place to shoot. But it'd be nice to have that one more day just to get ready and get our legs going.
Coach Love, and you have a matchup tonight with Northwest, a boys team that has really shot out and surprised a lot of people. They're out to an undefeated start. What have you seen from them through some film you might have been able to watch and just what you've heard and experienced with other teams?
They're tall. Like every other team we play, they got a lot of height. They have some quick guards and Waters and Larson. Very impressive. They did play Gick the other night, and I got to go watch that game on last Thursday, and they looked very impressive that night.
How do you handle that height? I mean, everybody says if you've got quickness and your teams have had quickness, I don't know that this team is as quick as the last couple of years, but they're starting to come into their own too. What do you do to attack that height?
Well, we're going to try and keep the pressure turned up on them because that's what we have to do. We can't really handle anybody in the half court with the height we've been facing so far. So we're going to try and put as much pressure on them as we can, get them into some mistakes, and we'll have Mitchell Moeller back today, so that'll help. He'll be a 6'4 player for us, and hopefully we'll get him a couple minutes each quarter today.
And, Coach, like Doug said, this is a tournament that really kind of stands off the sheet a little bit in terms of the competition at this thing. When you have teams like Northwest, you have Seward, you have a Bennington and Holdridge, I guess talk about being in one of those upper-tier tournaments really on both sides of the ball with boys and girls.
Well, I would say when we found out we were going to be in this tournament, we're just going, holy cow. I mean, there's, like I said, Northwest Northwest really isn't a surprise to us. They came to our tournament last year, and we've seen them during the summer, and they're a very good ball club. And then you have Holdridge and Seward and Bennington Beatrice, all going to be quality programs. They're going to play hard and get after it every night.
Talking with Shannon Lovin, the head boys basketball coach at Minden. Their game tonight is at 7:15. What are you looking for this week, these three games that then will propel you into January?
Well, I tell you, we're hoping to get three games, because if we don't win today, we only get two.
No.
So we're looking to improve. We've got steps and things we have to work on yet. I need to see consistency out of our team for an entire 32 minutes, and so that's what we're working on. And working to improve some of our breakdowns on defense that we need to get better at. But we are continuing to improve. The guys are getting better, and like I said earlier, I think they've got their own identity now. So.
Well, Coach, appreciate the time. We know you have practice to get to. We'll let you go ahead and pass off the phone. I hear we have another guy sitting right next to you.
Yeah, he's standing right here. I'll hand him the phone.
Thanks, Shannon. Head coach Rick Cremosta, the girls' basketball coach. They are still undefeated, and they get into this tournament where Northwest has been a quality Class B program. I know these girls would love to get a crack at a couple of the other teams. They see Holdridge during the regular season, and right now anybody would like to play Seward just to see how they measure up. Right. Big picture, Rick, how do you keep the kids focused on today? Because we know this is an important game, and these Northwest Vikings are good.
Yeah, they really are. They're darn good ball teams, so it's going to be a challenge.
Well, Coach, I mean, you're in a tournament right now, like Doug said. It features Seward. You have an undefeated Beatrice team. You have Holdridge. When you saw this, you heard what Coach Lovin had to say when he saw what tournament you guys decided to go to during the holidays. What went through your mind when you saw this slate?
Well, it's going to be a challenging tournament. You know, the girls' side of it, you know, you've got four Class B schools that are top five, six in Class B, without a doubt. So it's going to be a challenge, you know. We hope the little Whippets can hang with them and make some competitive games out of it.
Rick, how do you think the first month went for your ball club? I mean, people can look on paper and see that you went 8-0, and you were rarely challenged. You really took care of business most games, and you'll definitely be challenged here. I know you want to see what happens when your girls are challenged. What did you think of those first eight games?
Well, I thought, you know, there was times we played really good basketball, and at times we just were a little inconsistent. I'm not sure we put four complete quarters together yet, and that'd be something that we'll have to do in this tournament to even compete. So, you know, but we competed well. We got a lot of new faces on the court this year. So, you know, I've always said it's a season's three different seasons, and we got through the first season, now the second season, and then, of course, when districts and that comes around, it's the third season. So, you know, we had a good first season, and we'll see what happens in the second season here.
Well, Coach, I already heard you call your team the Little Whippets. What kind of mindset are you instilling into them, maybe being an underdog for once, maybe this season?
We'll be underdogs against everybody we play over there.
What are you looking for, Rick? I mean, I keep thinking back here that the Stars in volleyball, they went and got in a preseason tournament like this and won the tournament down at Beatrice. Now you have an opportunity to really open eyes across the state, and I know you just want to play good basketball no matter what the result, but I'm sure the girls have also thought about going in and getting three this week.
Yeah, we don't talk a lot about what's after this Northwest game, to be honest with you. To be honest with you, we haven't talked about the tournament at all because I haven't even seen my kids in 5-6 days. And so, you know, we just got to go over there and put our purple uniforms on and go out there and compete and give it a shot. And whatever happens, we're going to face somebody that's pretty good tomorrow, whether we get it or we don't get it, that's for sure. So, it's going to be a challenging tournament. But it's something that, of course, our kids are all looking forward to, and the coaching staff is. And we'll see what we're made of here and what we need to work on. And hopefully that'll help us down the stretch run here, you know, the second half of this season.
Well, Coach, I want to jump into your team a little bit. Obviously, the Kissinger sisters doing what they're doing. But talk about just your team spreading the wealth and how you've been able to find your scoring through not only the Kissinger sisters but the rest of the team, just what you've seen from them so far.
Well, Brooke and James, they've been a constant force all year. You know, they that's something that we really look for them to have their A game every night. We need them to score. So, you know, we get quite a bit of scoring from the Kissingers, but we've had some other kids really pitch in. It seems like we've had in most games four kids in double figures, and that's good. Rebecca Stewart's been a really good player for us. She's a freshman girl. She's came in and really did a nice job for us so far this year, and she's a tough kid under there and gives us some inside presence and does a good job. Our two seniors, Elena Bedreau and Sydney Stadler, have both been double-figure girls for us at times this year. And then we come off the bench with a sophomore and a junior, Allie and Shay Taylor, and they really do a nice job defensively especially. And so, you know, we play 7-8 girls, and that's where we're at. And it has been fun to watch the kids gain confidence in themselves. And we've got some new whippets on the court this year, so that's always good to see too.
Minden girls basketball coach Rick Cremosta with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Last question, Coach, and we'll let you get back to work there. Can you give us a little scouting report on Northwest?
Well, yeah, very athletic team, good size, 5'10", 5'11", across the board. They've got Mackenzie Brown, who is by far she's an All-State Class B player without a doubt. Tremendous shooter. She'll be by far the best player we've seen this year. You know, the other night I went and watched them play, and I think she had 8 threes against Columbus. So she's a really fine player. She's their catalyst, but they got a lot of people that go with her too, and they're athletic. They, you know, state champion Class B volleyball, I believe, and last year track, they, you know, 36, 37 foot triple jumpers on this team. So they'll be as athletic as any team that we'll see this year, and they're well rounded. They're a confident team, and they've got a lot of experience on the court, so it's going to be a fun game.
Rick Cremosta, men and girls basketball coach, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, we appreciate the time, and good luck tonight against Northwest. Should be fun to watch.
Yeah, I hope it will be, and we'll give it a shot. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Rick. Rick Cremosta and Shannon Lumman, Minden basketball coaches. Again, that all gets underway. Bennington and Beatrice have byes today. Seward plays Holdridge in the afternoon games. Northwest and Minden in the evening games. Adams Central is in action today. They get underway at 12:30. They play Battle Creek in the Great Northeast Nebraska Shootout. That's at Wayne State. Of course, the GNAC tournament gets underway today. Hastings, Kearney, Lexington are all competing there. Axtell, Bertrand, Heartland, Ravenna, Silver Lake, a bunch of tournaments that get underway today and tomorrow. So we'll keep you up to date, let you know more about them in just a moment. But right now we need to take a break. Boy, that's going to be some competition. Whoever wins that's going to be solid.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the top tournaments. The only other matchup that really stands out to me in terms of big-time matchup is the girls' side and boys' side, North Platte, St. Pat's, Kearney Catholic. That's going to be a big showdown for those two teams.
And that's tomorrow here on ESPN Radio starting at 1:30. We'll take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show and remind you that all of our guests are taken care of by our friends at BK. BK, two locations in Kearney, along with Lexington, Holdridge, and North Platte. We're back after this.
Come on in, let the games begin.
You already know where you're going to be at midnight on New Year's Eve. We know where you should be for dinner. Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill in Hastings, and I would like to invite you to join us for dinner on New Year's Eve. We will be offering prime rib and succulent crab legs starting at 5 p.m. until the steam pot is empty. And don't forget to designate a driver. HK Sports Bar and Grill, located at West J Street and Highway 6 in Hastings.
Come on in, let the games begin.
I'm attorney Nick Killian, the lawsuit lion. You want to sue the crap out of somebody? I'll get you the money you deserve. Did you fall down running in a grassy meadow? Well, someone put that grass there, and we'll bleed them dry. The lion will get you everything.
But can you get deals on the top 10 appliance brands?
No.
That's because only Sears has them all. Hurry in for Sears' year-end event and save up to 25% off appliances. Plus, an extra 15% off appliances over $499 with your Sears card. This is the top 10 advantage. This is Sears. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Savings rate from 5 to 25%. Offer valid 12/21 through 1/5.
I'll sue your mom.
You know that feeling. 2:30 in the afternoon, a lot to do, and you hit the wall. You're tired and groggy, but you gotta get stuff done. So take a 5-hour energy. Just open it up, knock it back, and roll up your sleeves. 5-hour energy is faster and easier than coffee, and man, does it work. You'll get the alert, energized feeling you need to get stuff done. A lot of stuff. 5-Hour Energy, when you gotta get stuff done. For more information, visit 5-Hour.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
As cloudy conditions prevail today, we'll see some scattered flurries and snow showers around the area, with accumulation staying from a light coating up to an inch in spots by this evening. High temperatures will stay up in the low 20s. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, it's 18.
I'll have a blue Christmas.
Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda, Spencer Schubert with you on this Thursday. The GNAC tournament times today for the girls. Kearney plays Lexington at 2 and Hastings plays McCook at 5:30. On the boys' side, 3:45 tips for Kearney against Norfolk and Hastings against North Platte. Lexington will play McCook tonight at 7:15. Those games over the next 3 days are in Columbus at the high school and Central Community College. As we said, Doug Duda, Spencer Schubert with you on this Thursday show. And Brian Munson has been patiently waiting to join us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We appreciate the time from Big Red Report. Brian, how's it going?
I'm doing just fine. You guys have a good Christmas?
Well, you know, we made it through. The days after Christmas are a little rough, I'll tell you that. We had a little snow, and, we didn't have to run around with our shirts off like you probably did down there in Texas.
Oh, I'm telling you what, it got really cold, and of course we got about 2 inches of snow on Christmas Day, which was nice, reminded me of home, and I heard you mentioning Columbus High School there a second ago, brings you back, and then of course you guys in Kearney going to school out there, so I really miss it back home.
Yeah, you're not going to miss it today. It's snowing and cold, brother. It's like 11 below wind chill. I can send you some tickets if you want it.
The pictures would be nice, but yeah, I'd like to see something like that.
2 inches of snow in Texas, that probably means schools are closed for the next month, isn't it?
Well, I mean, obviously it's a little bit of a culture shock. The worst part about Texas down here when it does snow is that they have no ability, number one, to remove it from the roadways without just like sanding and icing it, or just salting it and icing it and sanding it. But number two, if you get to a spot where it hasn't had that and the drivers have to go across it, I want to go across that bridge first. They just don't know how. They don't know how to deal with it down here at all. So I'm out the door usually pretty early on days I have to go to work and it's snowing outside.
Well, there won't be any snow in Orlando, Florida, where the Huskers landed yesterday, and they've wrapped up practice for this morning, and they had some of them to Disney World this afternoon, and all kinds of excitement going on there. Before we talk about this year's Huskers, I know there's always recruiting news. You've been keeping up to date on a couple of kids this week. What can you tell us, Brian?
Well, Ben Bradley is a guy I caught up with last night. Now, the interesting part about Ben Bradley was that he took an unofficial visit with Toby Johnson, his teammate, November 18th. I think that was going to be for Iowa. Actually, the week before, Minnesota. And they were on the ticket to be up there officially, and they got a car and they drove up. It was really weird, but it became pretty clear that the two of them really weren't considering Nebraska all that much later on in the next month, because Toby Johnson kind of eliminated Nebraska, was still kind of considering him, but they were way back on the back burner for him. And then Ben Bradley comes back from a trip to Columbia, Missouri, and says, I'm down to two, it's Missouri and Tennessee. Well, then he doesn't sign last Wednesday. The Nebraska staff gets in touch with Bradley somehow, whether it was through his coach or Facebook or whatever, and all of a sudden Nebraska's back in the contention for him. So I caught up with Ben Bradley last night, And he said that yeah, Nebraska's very much still in it for him, and he's going to go ahead and make his commitment on Friday. So very interesting development. Just when everybody thought that Nebraska was going to go 0 for the junior college kids in December, Nebraska is still alive for one, and Ben Bradley would be a huge get for the staff and for the team.
Well, Brian, obviously the bowl game less than a week away now for Nebraska. In terms of recruiting, how much does a bowl game performance or even just what they do down there, how much does that actually affect a recruit this late in the recruiting season, and how much attention do you think will be paid to that?
Well, I think in any other ordinary circumstance, I would say that there was some effect. But I think for Nebraska, Capital One bowl game, Georgia, who I think is a top three, top four program in the nation, considering where the game is being held down in Florida, and also on the heels of the Big Ten Conference Championship game where Nebraska just went out there and didn't do, you know, like they hoped they would against Wisconsin, I'd say that the circumstances around this bowl game are much higher in terms of impact on recruiting than in years past. I think Nebraska this is a statement game for them. They can go out there and they can show America and they can show these recruits that, number one, we still have a need for you, of course, because you see what happened with Wisconsin. But number two, I think that also if there's any lack of confidence in the direction of the program or confidence in the coaching staff, or if Bo Pelini needs to go out there and really show that he hasn't lost his touch, that this is the game to do it. There probably couldn't be a better set of circumstances for Nebraska to go out there and have a great game nationally, unless you're talking about against Notre Dame or Alabama or Oregon. But Georgia, like I said, is going to be one of those top three, four teams in the nation. So if you're going to go out and do it against somebody, go ahead and take somebody like that in the SEC.
We're talking with Brian Munson of Big Red Report here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug due to Spencer Schubert here on ESPN Radio. A story that will probably shock just the general Husker fan is that John Jenkins won't play because he's academically ineligible, but that's not that big of a story, is it? He hasn't played that much this year, even though he is projected to go in the first round of the NFL draft, and his backup is 6'6", 355, and may also declare for the draft in Kwame Gethers.
Absolutely. That is a very talented defense. I mean, I don't know. You've got two, maybe three first-round draft picks over there on that side of the football for Georgia, and it's also an opportunistic defense. They can go out there and they can create turnovers. They can get things back in their favor, and the offense for Georgia, though, it is something that just gets kind of overlooked here. That's a very efficient offense. They got a pro-style offense, which does, I think, play into Nebraska's strength somewhat when it comes to defending it. But at the same time, I think it's going to be one of those track meets where Nebraska is going to have to limit the amount of problems, limit the amount of turnovers and mistakes that they can make. And I think the other thing is, too, and this is the part that really bothers me the most, because I don't know if I really saw it at all this season, but Tim Beck's offense typically is about scoring fast and getting off the football field. And I think that against a team like Georgia, who can put up points that you know, they want to get in the track meets against other teams, against their opponents, you want to go ahead and take some time off the clock. You need to assist your defense in allowing them to get their win back, to go ahead and get back to 100%, to get them back out there on the football field to go out there and play defense again. And the way Nebraska has played before in the past of the season, they haven't got a lot of time off the football field. Nebraska typically does not win the time of possession category.
Well, Brian, the signing of David Neville and a lot of the other key recruits here already in the recruiting class, I guess talk about where you think the high end is for this recruiting class here for Nebraska as signing day gets closer and closer. Where do you think is the best spot Nebraska can possibly finish? And on the tail end, where's the worst do you think they'll finish?
You know, I like what Nebraska's done so far when it comes to this class. Scout.com has got Nebraska at number 15, and that's at 16 commitments. I think it's a solid rating. I think Nebraska can get up there and push into that maybe number 10. You know, I think we're talking about top 12, top 13, though. I'm looking at a couple teams that are right in front, like Vanderbilt's got 23 commitments. They're ahead of Nebraska, surely on quantity alone. But what I really like when it comes to this class for Nebraska is the quality of the commitments in the class. I think if you go back, you start looking at some of those classes that are ranked ahead of Nebraska, like Oklahoma, Washington, like I said, Vanderbilt before. Those classes right there are typically in there just because of quantity. When you look at the quality of stars, 3.44 stars according to scout.com, that's the average number of stars per commitment. And you got guys like, you know, Gabriel Miller that's not going to be helping out the class, but what are you going to do? You got to catch a long snapper this year, and you're not going to find a four-star long snapper. They just don't exist. So you go ahead and you have your need. At the same time, Nebraska's got these other guys that are carrying the class so well. And I think one of the strengths of the class, personally to me, guys, I love the linebackers that Nebraska's bringing in. Courtney Love, Josh Banderas, Marcus Newby out from Maryland. I just think that you put those guys together, and it's a strong-looking unit on top of the class they just brought in, too, with Michael Rose and Jared Offalava and Thomas Brown.
Talking with Brian Munson here for just another minute on the Doug and Daddy Show. I'm seeing that every once in a while you can bring to a bowl practice some of these kids that are trying to get their wide receiver. James Clark was at practice today. How much can that influence, and what are the rules about all of that kind of stuff for kids, seniors, juniors, going to be seniors showing up at your practices for the bowl?
Well, obviously, there's going to be it's going to be on their dime, of course, to get in. These are all unofficial visits up until, I think, it's the second weekend in January again when the official visits kick back off. So if they can make it in, great. I know that Nebraska before have had guys come out to their bowl games, like Jamal Turner flew out to San Diego a couple years ago to go out there and see Nebraska all the way from Texas. And just it's on their dime. And if they can make it, Nebraska could, of course, invite those guys out there. They could tell them, hey, look, we're out there, we're practicing at such and such high school or this college or wherever they're at. And they can tell them to come on out come out and see them and see what they're all about. There's definitely no issues with any of that stuff right there. Of course, then it comes into just you got to pay your own way, and there's nothing they can really do for you beyond that.
Brian, last question. Do you expect, we talked about this a little bit here the last couple of days, in the bowl game when you're not playing for a national championship, you may see some new kids kind of rotated in to get them ready for next year. Do you expect any significant appearances in Tuesday's bowl game?
That's a great question. I'm trying to think right now about guys probably coming. I think that this game is going to be about Nebraska needing to still make a statement. So I think you can only go as deep as, you can't really sacrifice the game plan and the need to go ahead and play well to go ahead and get some guys some exposure. The week of preparation leading up to, though, allows you to fold in the redshirt guys, allows you to get a little bit deeper look and bring some other guys to the table and work them in a little bit better. And I think that is going to be the biggest improvement or biggest week, of course, of their lives so far when it comes to Nebraska football. But I think also when it comes to the coaches just getting an idea and a sense about what they're looking at come springtime, as well as the guys that they're going to fold in there that are transferring in January, they'll have some ideas about where they're going to lie, and sit at when it comes to spring practices and the depth charts that they need to go ahead and produce based on the guys that they're losing this fall.
Brian Munson, he is with us from Big Red Report, just seeing some updates from practice today. Chase Rome has a cast on his right hand, Burkhead practicing without his knee brace. Anything else out there? We kind of already knew Vince Morrow obviously being there because he's going to be with the team until he takes that job at Kentucky after the bowl game. So, Brian, hey, we always appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Have a happy new year. Let's see if we can maybe shock a few people, bring a win home on Tuesday.
That would sound great, guys. You guys have a happy new year yourselves.
Take care. Brian Munson, Big Red Report, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug, due to Spencer Schubert with us on the program. Nothing shocking that I'm seeing coming out of practice this morning.
Yeah, no, I mean, Nebraska's doing what they do this time of the year, obviously, with these bowl practices. Burkhead without the knee brace is interesting, not really shocking. I mean, he's had half a season to really rehash that knee. So
I'm imagining there was no contact probably today either.
Right. I'm guessing if they were in shoulder pads, it wasn't pants and they were wearing just the shorts or whatever it might be. These bowl practices aren't exactly nose to the grindstone by any stretch. But Nebraska right now, like Munson said, I think they have a chance to really go out and show where this program's at. Playing a team like Georgia that's going to come in just as hungry. I mean, you think, okay, they're 4 yards short of a national championship, they're going to come out flat. There is that possibility because they're not in the game they want to be in, but they're still Georgia. Their backup nose guard, 6'6", 350. So, I mean, they have good guys on the field. They're going to play Nebraska tough. I think any Nebraska fan just hopes they don't see a repeat of what they saw December 1st.
I just trying to find a way that Nebraska can eke this out. I don't know. We'll find out more about it tomorrow. More bowl predictions here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We have had just a handful of the bowls on our bowl bonanza that have been wrapped up. We'll talk about that. Nebraska basketball players Devrell Biggs cited Sunday morning at 1:40 for leaving the scene of an accident and driving under the influence. He then had a couple of other charges against him, cited for MIP. His birthday is coming up to be 21. And also, here is a citation or a crime that I didn't know you could commit. Unsafe backing.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
Don't get arrested for unsafe backing.
That just sounds bad in multiple ways.
Biggs is, of course, a redshirt this year for the Huskers after transferring in from JUCO in Kansas, where he was one of the first-team All-Americans in JUCO out of Omaha Central. His teammate at Omaha Central, Josh Jones, is done playing basketball for Creighton. He says he's facing additional surgical procedures, trying to correct a heart problem that caused him to pass out before the Nebraska game December 6th. Man, anytime that's you get tough. Around that heart. That's not good, and so hopefully all goes well for Josh. Luke Hoover is going to join us with your fantasy football answers. You get us the questions, email them to us, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Facebook us. I know if you're still playing, that means it's important, and we'll have Luke Hoover next.
Here's a couple things you might not know about Jerseys in Kearney. They offer lunch under $6 every day, and there's something going on every night of the week. Like on Mondays, 45-cent wings. Tuesdays, happy day. That's happy hour all day long. There's a late-night happy hour Monday through Thursday from 9 until 11 p.m., not to mention free Wi-Fi, Keno and Trickle Cards. There's something every day for everyone at Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. Located in the Vista Point Shopping Center, Kearney.
Jay Farner here from Quicken Loans. We get a lot of tweets from folks that sound just like this. Jay, I bought my home in 2007. Since then, it's gone down in value. Now I owe more on my mortgage than my home is worth. Can I refinance? The answer may very well be yes. Recently, the government announced changes that may allow folks to refinance even if their home has lost value. For example, if you owe $300,000 on your mortgage, but your home's only worth $150,000, Quicken Loans may still be able to help you. Or if your current mortgage rate is higher than 3.99%, you've got to give us a call today at 800-QUICKEN. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. So, if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, or if you owe more than your home is worth, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Important terms and conditions apply. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS.
Fall is here, and for guys, that means one thing, football. Each week, nearly 12 million men settle into their favorite recliner to cheer on their favorite team. For men over 30, the inactivity creates lost muscle tone, reduced sex drive, and excess belly fat. This year, don't get sacked by the football season. Change your game plan with the help of Complete Nutrition's strongest, most potent youth energy and weight loss enhancer, the Charger Pack. With its new testosterone-infused formula, the Charger Pack delivers men over 30 the fastest, most undeniable results possible. Regain your muscle, recharge your libido, and sack stubborn belly fat with the Charger Pack, available exclusively from Complete Nutrition.
If you experience excessive weight loss in your first 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
The holidays mean holiday tournament basketball action, and we've got you covered on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. We'll be in Ravenna and Amherst for their holiday tournaments. Here on ESPN, it all starts on Thursday when Loop City takes on Centura. Then we'll bring you the Ravenna Overton games on Classic Hits 98.9. Then on Friday the 28th, ESPN brings you the opening day of the Amherst holiday tournament as the Broncos play Ogallala and Kearney Catholic plays North Platte St. Pat's. Happy holidays and keep it here for Hoops.
As cloudy conditions prevail today, we'll see some scattered flurries and snow showers around the area, with accumulation staying from a light coating up to an inch in spots by this evening. High temperatures will stay up in the low 20s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 18.
Christmas.
Doug and Daddy Show here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Open every single day the rest of the year so that you can get your car, truck, and SUV needs taken care of. End of the year, we all know what that means when it considers tax time and getting something new, whether it's for you or for your business, and getting that done by January 1st. So they will be open this Sunday from 12 to 5 at the Midway Auto Dealerships, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. So if Sunday is what works best for you, it works for them on South 2nd Avenue. They've got Chevy Traverses in stock, including the new redesigned 2013 body style. There's over $5,000 off select 2012 and over $2,500 off select 2013s. They've also got Silverado 1500s up to $7,500 off in rebates. Over at the Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, they have got over 50 2012 and 2013 Rams in stock with over $9,000 off select models. If you're not looking new, that's fine. They've got over 200 pre-owned vehicles in stock. Maybe you just figured out that this weather and your vehicle don't match. They can take care of you. Go online, check out the inventory, fill out the online financing if you need to do that, or just check out their Facebook page for great deals every single week at the Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. Well, not everybody is still playing fantasy football this week, but as we mentioned about 3 weeks ago, there's the new playoff format, which folks do, and NFL.com has a big a fantasy football for that, and that starts next week. But Luke Hoover, who has been gracious enough to join us all season long from RotoWire and RotoWire.com, joins me, Doug Duda, Spencer Schubert here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Luke, how was Christmas for you?
Oh, it was great. It was a very good little vacation, and enjoyed it a lot. How was yours?
Well, it did well. Did pretty good in my fantasy leagues this year. I am one of those folks that still has 1 week to go. This is a progressive. It's the whole season. It's just points, and I'm setting in third, so I could fall out of the money, or I could win the league for prestige. So we'll see what happens. But I guess, obviously, Luke, the big question here is fans want to know, who in this final week may be resting people? And the way things have went, we've seen a couple coaches come out yesterday saying, you know what, and especially Cincinnati and Green Bay, saying, you know, that hasn't worked for us. We're going to play. Have you a team or two that really will be resting some players this weekend?
You know what, it's hard to say. A lot of teams, they won't really announce that, and, you know, might find out a little more on game day. So you want to keep your, you know, keep your focus on the, you know, the news Sunday before kickoffs. But you got to think that some of the Falcons might get rested. You know, they were in a similar scenario last year where they couldn't, you know, impact the playoff seeding at all. And you saw Matt Ryan played, you know, just through 9 passes in the last game of the season, which was also against Tampa Bay last year. And so I could see a scenario where he only plays maybe the first half of that game. You know, Michael Turner, if you've been using him regularly, might, you know, get some rest and they roll out Jacquizz Rodgers a little bit more. Roddy White has been dealing with a little bit of a knee injury, so maybe he doesn't play the full game. Those are guys to keep an eye on. You know, the Baltimore Ravens, their seeding is locked in. Anquan Boldin is a player who's dealing with a shoulder injury, and he might get rested a little bit. Sidney Rice, the receiver for Seattle, is, you know, they can't really move too much around, and they've got a nice matchup at home that they'll probably win with or without him. So there's certainly guys you want to keep an eye on, you know, if their team is either not playing for anything or they've already, you know, can't affect their playoff seeding any further and guys are dinged up or hurt, they may not, you know, be out this week. Another name, certainly a big name in running back, is Trent Richardson. He's looking iffy to play against Pitt on the road this week. And you know what, as banged up as he is, even if he plays, he's a little bit of a scary start.
Well, Luke, you pretty much just said my roster. So what do I do?
No.
Well, first I have to thank you. I did actually win in a league, believe it or not. So I got to give some of that credit to
all
you,
right?
Because I'm pretty sure I wouldn't have done that without you.
At least I helped somebody.
See, there you go. You get one thank you. That's all you get this year. No. I guess let's go ahead and jump right into the questions. Jack from Aurora wants to know, AJ Green, will Cincinnati rest him, or starters being locked in as a sixth seed? I mean, do you start A.J. Green?
I would feel okay starting Green. I don't think that Cincinnati is really going to rest their guys. For more than anything, they can't really move in the seeding, but I think that they really want to get this win over a Baltimore team they haven't beaten yet with Dalton and Green, you know, for a pride factor, for some confidence going into the playoffs.
they finish with the same record as Baltimore. They can't pass them. They don't have as good a division record as Baltimore does. But I wouldn't hesitate to put Green out there.
Luke Hoover from RotoWire, RotoWire.com, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. If you do have a fantasy football question for Luke, you can Facebook us or email us, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. How about Andy here? Andy from Kearney, he's already getting ready for next year. He goes, next year is the first year that we're trying a keeper league, and it's based on our final rosters from this week. I'm looking for some advice since I've never been in a keeper league before. And here's his question. Who would be a better keeper option for next year? Aaron Rodgers, first-round pick. Doug Martin, fifth-round pick. Randall Cobb, 15th-round pick in next year's draft.
For keeper league, a big thing to keep in mind is the scoring format. A lot can depend on that, and the number of teams certainly too. If you're in a deeper league and it's 12 teams, and say you're only keeping one player, I've always been a fan of having as good a quarterback play as I possibly can, because they're going to score the most points, provided the format allows it. If he's getting 6 points for passing touchdown, Aaron Rodgers is a guy you don't probably ever want to get rid of. You can find good players, even though you won't have that first-round pick, you can still find really good talent. But again, in a keeper league, you also want to have young talent. And Doug Martin's, he's coming off a monstrous rookie year. To give up just a fifth-rounder is a pretty nice value for him. I would certainly go with one of those two options, but like I said, that would depend on the scoring format to me. If Aaron Rodgers is getting 6 points for every time he gets in the end zone throwing the ball, I couldn't let him go.
Well, Luke, I am in one last championship. I'm down by about 40 because it's a two-week format here in the championship. So you need to help me here. I got really a tough situation because you already brought up one of them, Roddy White, that might not play a whole lot. He's kind of dinged up. And Matt Forte, those are the only two guys I would even consider trading places with. Right now I have Roddy White in. Forte's questionable. Do you switch him?
Well, if they are going to put Forte into the game, I would probably take my chances with him because they need him badly. Chicago really has no offense outside of Brandon Marshall and Forte. And it's a game that they need to win to have a shot at the playoffs. I think there's a good chance that Chicago does get in, because I don't really see Minnesota beating Green Bay when Green Bay is trying to stay in that two seed. And that's all that Chicago needs to have happen for them, is for Minnesota to lose and then get the victory. I'd stick with Forte if he's going to start, but right now he's questionable, so you got to follow that up to kickoff and make sure his ankle's going to hold up.
What can you tell me about Anquan Boldin and his status for the week?
They're saying he's dealing with a little bit of a shoulder injury, some soreness, and he's toughed it out for a few weeks now going through it. Now that they can't, affect their playoff seeding, and him being a veteran, he's going to be prepared for the playoffs. He's been in that, many times. He's played in the Super Bowl. I could see them resting him. I think they might, play him. I don't know that they'll necessarily declare him out, that he might start the game and just not finish it. I could completely see him playing a quarter or a half, if at all.
Okay.
So he's a guy who would be very – I don't think I would want to start him. I'd be nervous to start him.
Well, let's give you the next question to that then. Okay, I'll give you five wide receivers, touchdown only league, and you have to start three of them: Amendola, Boldin, Kenny Britt, Randy Moss, Roddy White.
I would put Britt in there, number one, because Britt has been scoring recently. He's gotten, I believe, three in his last four games. He's found the end zone. Amendola is a bit of a risk versus a tough Seattle defense, but you know that they're going to have to throw it a fair amount. He had that terrible game last week, but I expect him to bounce back from that one. He's a tough cover for even the best corners, even if Richard Sherman's on him. He's a tough cover because of all those underneath routes he runs. I could still conceivably see Roddy White finding the end zone if he plays even a quarter. That's how bad the Buccaneers' pass defense is. But again, we said before, he might not play much of that game. He could see a significant amount of rest, and I see the same thing for Boldin. The 49ers do need a victory, so Randy Moss being the number two receiver there, you could certainly take a chance on Randy Moss. He did score against the Cardinals the last time they played, so that wouldn't be a terrible option.
Quarterback question for you: Matt Schaub or Matt Ryan? You said Ryan might sit because they're already pretty much locked up. Would you start Schaub over him?
I probably would, because it's a game the Texans need to win just to keep that bye, you know, to not have give the Patriots that chance to catch them. So Schaub's good. You know he's going to go four quarters for you. Something to keep in mind, and I don't expect it necessarily to happen. Ryan only threw 9 passes last year, and I checked this. He did throw 2 touchdowns in just a quarter of action. You know, didn't have the yardage, had about 100 yards. So it's not a, you know, particularly strong start for you. And Matt Schaub had only gotten to the end zone once when they played Indy the last time. But, you know, Arian Foster's dealing with some issues with, you know, the regular heartbeat, whatever's going on with him right now. His health is a little bit questionable, although it sounds like he's going to play. So, you know, Houston might throw the ball a little more than they normally do.
One question I want to ask you. We've done this week in and week out since week one. How have your fantasy teams done? I know you always laugh at ours. How has the expert done this season?
Well, I managed to win the inaugural Fantasy Football Fest League, a draft that I did down in Atlantic City with a number of experts, and it was a 12-team PPR league, and I just pulled that one out by the skin of my teeth this last week. I was real nervous. I had to face Calvin Johnson's team. But fortunately, Dez Bryant saved the day for me, and I had Dez Bryant and Aaron Rodgers carry me in the title.
Oh, nice.
You know, came close in a handful of other leagues, but that was actually my only title. I unfortunately have to admit on air, I lost to my brother. It wasn't even close in my home keeper league that I've been doing for years. He had Calvin Johnson, and just his whole team went off, and mine pretty much laid an egg. Doug Martin and Ray Rice in a keeper league, and they both didn't help me out very much.
Well, we all, I think, know how that feels. You got a good team, and then that week it goes down. Hey, Luke, I'll ask you one more question just from football here. The All-Pro, the Pro Bowl teams were announced yesterday. Our poll question here on the Doug and Daddy Show is, who was the biggest snub? So I'll put it to you. Drew Brees, Andrew Luck, Dez Bryant, Roddy White. Who should have been in?
To me, believe it or not, I have to say Dez Bryant. The guy's been absolutely phenomenal. You know, the last 7 weeks, he's got 10 touchdowns. He's kind of carried that offense for Dallas, and he's kept them into the playoff hunt. You know, now the last couple weeks, what he's done with the broken finger, you know, giving absolutely everything last week in a game that they very well could have won and pulled out the victory in a comeback. You know, Brees, just statistically, is obviously he's very deserving. You know, he's got all the yards and the touchdowns, leading, you know, the league in touchdowns. But the team, you know, wasn't quite there, and you know, without them getting the victory, some of those numbers look a little bit hollow. So I like what Dez Bryant's done this year. He's really impressed me.
One question I want to ask you, just a broad fantasy football question. How many leagues is too many? I think it's a debate many of my friends have had, because you're playing one guy against one team, but you're facing him in another one. How many leagues do you actually participate in, and how many leagues would you advise most people participate in?
You know, most people, your average fan who's doing a fantasy league, I would say, you know, even approaching, you know, 5+ might be too many, because it is a lot to handle depending on the league. You get different scoring systems and different numbers of teams. And obviously, you know, I personally hate to have to, you know, go up against, you know, playing in multiple leagues where I'm playing, you know, I'm having to root for a guy and root against them at the same time. And it can happen so often, you know, when you're in a lot of leagues. I try to limit myself to between about 8 and 10, you know, every year, and it's tough to keep those up. Sometimes I know a lot of guys that play well into the 20s and more. I can't tell you how they do it. You know, you got to be losing an awful lot of leagues to do that. And personally, I'm pretty competitive. I don't know how well I'd take losing a dozen plus leagues.
Well, yeah, no, I have trouble just in the one or two. But, hey, Luke, thanks so much for the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. I'll leave it to you. Do you want to talk playoff fantasy next week?
Absolutely. If you guys want to have me on, it'd be great.
You damn right we do. So, Luke, we'll do it. Next Thursday, we'll have you back to give us some advice, because that's a whole different monster, the way that baby is scored. So,
yep.
Luke, thanks for the advice, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a happy new year.
Sounds good. You too.
Luke Hoover joining us from RotoWire, RotoWire.com. What did you think about the biggest Pro Bowl snub? You can vote on our poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. Your choices: Drew Brees, Andrew Luck, Dez Bryant, and Roddy White. Okay, here's the deal. You're looking, at first, I think it's Andrew Luck, because You got Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Well, how long are you? You're not going to bump them. And then it's Matt Schaub of Houston. His numbers, I'll take Andrew Luck, just on a gut. And again, this is without going in and looking at all the numbers. On the NFC side at quarterback, you've got Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, and Robert Griffin III. Drew Brees, I mean, you got to have Rodgers in there. Ryan had a pretty good year. Then you got the wow factor with RG3 and Drew Brees. Brees is a quarterback of a losing team this year.
Right. And I mean, you look at these four names of the snubs, Drew Brees, Andrew Luck, Dez Bryant, Roddy White. Name one player that's typically not on a good team. The Colts, when Peyton Manning left, were a shell of what they once were. They were nothing. Absolutely nothing. How many wins did they get? What was it?
I mean, 2 last year.
Yeah, they obviously had the number one NFL draft pick. So that's how they got Mr. Luck. And now all of a sudden they're back in the playoffs in one season. These other guys, Drew Brees, Dez Bryant, Roddy White, they had great years, but they played for pretty good teams. The Saints, even though it's a down year, they're a pretty good team all in all. The Cowboys, okay, they're not a good team. The Falcons, though, they are a great team this year. And you just look at what Luck's been able to do at the quarterback position. And sure, he might not have the RG3 wow factor, but to turn that shell of a team after Peyton Manning went down into what it is today, that, in my opinion, would probably outdo Schaub in my book. So I agree with you.
Dez Bryant and Roddy White, I mean, you've got Calvin Johnson and Brandon Marshall. You can't take them out. So Julio Jones was picked. He's picked over Roddy White, so I don't think you can have them both on there. Then Victor Cruz of the Giants, and I can see Victor Cruz of the Giants staying home for either one of those guys. And the reason Dez Bryant isn't on, it's because of his off-field stuff. I mean, you've got players, coaches, and fans voting for you. Dez has to do something with his image, and he's starting to do that on the field. But, you know, off-field issues, attitude perceived, that's why Dez Bryant isn't there.
Yeah, and you wonder
why, should be or not.
You wonder why Brett Favre, even in his waning years as a quarterback, was still a Pro Bowl guy, because people liked him. People knew the name Brett Favre. He might have only thrown 50% in his two plays on the field during the Pro Bowl, but you know, people liked him. They wanted to see him there, and sometimes it is a popularity contest, and when Dez Bryant's out doing what he's doing, that reduces that popularity.
Give us your thoughts at ESPNSuperstation.com. Our poll question yesterday: how important is home field advantage in the NFL playoffs? 42% of you said it's important no matter who you are. 33% says not that important. 25% said it's important for cold weather teams. You can always vote, pick up points for our Hy-Vee Rewards Fan Club as well at ESPNSuperstation.com. I think that brings us to the end of the show, Spencer. Well, we're jam-packed.
It was jam-packed. Talked hoops, talked football.
Two kinds, indoor and outdoor.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And fantasy.
Absolutely.
All right, well, let's get on out of here. And don't forget, in less than an hour here, Loop City Centura doubleheader from the Ravenna Holiday Tournament tips off at 1. And then at 4:30, it will be Ravenna and Overton on Classic Hits 98.9. Whole lot more to talk about. Enjoy the holiday tournaments, the wrestlers that are going out over the next 3 days for their invitationals as well.
And don't forget to tune into NTV Sports. We're going to have highlights from Axtell, Ravenna, the Northwest Holiday Tournament. If you want to see it and not go to it, you know where to go.
You got to go. And then maybe you'll see yourself on TV.
It's a lot of driving. That's true.
By the way, you're up to number 6 on the stories of the year.
We are up to number 6.
What's
we're talking.
Number 1?
I'll tell you what tonight is, though. The Ravenna sanctions and then the give back from the NSAA. That's number 6 tonight. We'll be talking and breaking down that and kind of the reaction we got from Ravenna Public Schools, from the NSAA. A big story that's in at number 6 tonight.
All right, check it out on NTV. We want to thank Rick Cremosta and Shannon Lovin, basketball coaches at Minden. Also want to thank Mike Davis of the Nebraska Danger, Brian Munson, Big Red Report, and Luke Hoover of RotoWire for joining us today. Tomorrow, Jim Langan's in, Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal Star among our guests live from Orlando. Spencer, have a good new year.
I will, you as well.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.